Now, let's get into the Word of God today. We're in this series called He's Been There. Hebrews chapter 4, if you can put that on the screen for me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. We've been looking at different areas and different parts of life that Jesus lived through that we sometimes don't necessarily think about, but yet Jesus not only lived through it, but he conquered it. He was victorious over it, and it says he did not sin. And we're going to look at this other moment in Jesus' life where he went through something that every single one of us that draw breath will go through at some point or another. And many of us in this room today, many of you at home today, already have gone through this and have walked through these seasons. We're going to look at this idea of Jesus. He's been there. Jesus mourns. If you got a Bible, you can look at John chapter 11, verse 33. You can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app. The notes are in there as well. And here we go. You guys ready to dig into it today? I'm not going to read this whole sermon. I'm just going to read a few verses and then talk about it. It says, when Jesus saw her weeping, talking about Mary and Martha, the brother and sister of Lazarus. It says, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Verse 34, where have you put him? He asked them. And they told him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, then Jesus wept. Then Jesus wept. He's been there. Jesus has mourned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for this moment today. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for those that have started right now, even before the message, even right now in this moment of worship. God, you have pricked their heart, and Holy Spirit, you've drawn them to you, drawn them into the family, and we just thank you for that right now. We thank you for your presence and your anointing being in this moment and in this room with us today. Lord, I pray that we would not just hear some nice ideas. God, we would not just hear some cute tales or some wisdom that we can think about. But Lord, I pray that we would have a real, personal, and powerful encounter with you, the living God of this living word today. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on your belly right now with me. Say this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear, so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you call me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you guys may have seen this. It was maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe just a couple weeks ago. My wife, Luann, posted a picture on her Facebook and Instagram, and it was a picture. We had spent the day at a pumpkin patch. And I didn't tell her I was going to tell the story at all, so she's like, where are you going with this kid? So anyway, we spent the day at a pumpkin patch with her sister and her family, and it's like a thing white people do during the fall, you know? And put your flannel on and go to the pumpkin patch, you know what I mean? And so we were doing that, and they had this big, giant wooden horse. It was like, I don't know. It was like 7 or 8 feet tall, and as we were leaving, Luann and her sister Liz were like, hey, we got to get our picture on the horse. And so Liz climbed up there, and then Luann began to climb up there, but as she was climbing, it was rocking, and she just became deathly afraid. And the picture you saw on Facebook was her and her sister, and Luca was up there, and they were all had a big smile on their face. And she told the story, which is why I didn't even ask her permission. But what you didn't see, you see the picture of the smile and the sun, and it's a beautiful moment. But what you don't see is the terror and the fear, you know what I mean, that was gripping her just literally seconds before I snapped the picture. Because, of course, like a good husband, when I realized that the thing could tipsy-turvy and she was getting afraid, I obviously started jumping on it and shaking it even more, because that's what I think a good husband does, you know? And I'm sharing that to say, you see the picture of the smile, but you didn't necessarily know about or see the stuff, the pain and the scariness and the start. And I think with Jesus' life, sometimes, you know, we look at the miracles, we look at the little children coming to Jesus, we look at the resurrection, we look at the teachings and the powerful words and all these things, and we think, well, that's all Jesus did, that's all his life was. But the reality is that Jesus lived through every single part of life that you and I lived through, including loss. Jesus lived in victory over everything that life throws at us, including the loss of a very close friend, a loved one, someone that he loved like a brother. Scripture tells us that Jesus and this family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who were all brothers and sisters, they were very close, very tight-knit group, like family, even though they were like, do you guys have friends that are like family in your life? If you do, man, you're so blessed. We have a couple of friends like that that are family in our lives. We call it family or whatever you want to call it, but that's what it is, and so it's the same kind of loss. But here's the thing. Jesus' life was not all miracles and kissing babies. Listen, and we know this, the Christian life, guys, living any kind of life, even the Christian life, it's not all smiles and rainbows. Amen, somebody? We walk through stuff that hurts, and we walk through things, and we deal with seasons that are difficult. But here's the difference in regular life and as a Christian, in living a Christian life, listen, is this. I have joy in the midst of my sorrow. Because of my relationship with Jesus, I can have peace in the midst of things that are very disturbing. And the reason that that's possible is because as a Christian, you've hopefully come to the realization that joy is not a feeling and peace is not an emotion. Joy and peace are a person named Jesus. Amen, somebody? That's why in the middle of disturbing things, in the middle of when the sea is shaking and the winds are blowing and everything is topsy-turvy, I still can find peace because peace is a person that I know Jesus. I can still have joy in the midst of suffering because joy is a person that I know his name is Jesus. Amen, somebody? And so in this moment, his very good friend Lazarus has gotten ill suddenly and dies. And since Jesus is not there at the moment of death, in fact, we'll get to this in a second, but Jesus is several towns away, and word gets to him. Your boy, your friend, your brother that you choose, Lazarus, is on his deathbed. And Jesus makes the decision not to go and do anything about it at the moment. So Lazarus passes. It's been 4 days. His sisters are in mourning. They have a group of family and friends gathered around them, and they're all mourning as well. And when Jesus finally gets to the scene, you guys, many of you know the story. I just so you know, Jesus shows up. You know the story of Lazarus. Jesus shows up. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus is resurrected from the dead. It's an amazing miracle, but I'm not going to focus on the miracle today. I want to focus on the mourning. Because Jesus shows up, and this chunk of the story that I read, what had just happened is Mary and Martha basically come to Jesus, and they're like, dude, if you had been here, if you had come earlier, we sent you a text, we sent you an email, whatever, we sent you word, and you decided not to come, and if you had been here, you could have stopped this from happening. And Jesus is like, hey, it's all going to work out. God's going to get glory. But in this moment in Jesus' life, Jesus sees Mary and Martha, they're weeping, and they're wailing, and they're mourning, and everybody else that knew Lazarus was troubled by the loss. I'm sorry, Zach Brzezinski, amazing. I love it back there. I'm sorry. He stepped into the light, and when a 7-foot Viking steps into the light and you see his costume, I'm sorry. All right, I'm sorry, Zach. I'm so sorry. Everybody back on me, okay? I apologize. That was so powerful, I'm sure, where I was going. So Jesus has this moment where he sees here's what I want you to get to, because it's kind of strange. Because the Bible says Jesus is deeply troubled. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus is not only deeply troubled, but he's angry. And the question is, why does Jesus get angry for a moment in this time? I think it's twofold here. The first thing is this, here's what you understand. And the reason this is really important to see Jesus' emotion is because, especially here in the New Testament, and we may not say it all the time, we may not verbalize it, but we still have traces of this in our culture and in our lives. But especially in the Greek culture and the Roman culture that Jesus is living in, you know, they had a pantheon of gods, Zeus and Athena and Helena and all these. Those were not just cool characters that we see in movies that we make cool action. Those were actually gods that people worshipped back 2,000 years ago. And the thing about most of those gods in this culture was the gods were all viewed as very stoic, emotionless beings that really were concerned about their own glory and their own vanity and their own worship, and they weren't really moved or concerned by the troubles that you and I go through. And the reason that a lot of people struggled with Jesus as God and Jesus as the Messiah is because Jesus shows up showing all of the emotion and going through all the things that you and I go through. So Jesus shows up, and he before he mourns, he gets angry. And what he's troubled by and angry by, first off, he's angry at the hurt that his friends and family are going through. And what that lets you and I know is this, family, listen to me. When you're hurting, when you're going through a tough spot, when you're mourning, maybe you're experiencing loss, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, friend, Jesus is moved by what hurts and troubles and causes you to mourn. We are not serving a king who is some who keeps you and I at arm's distance, and who is not moved by the things that move you, and who is not hurt by the things that hurt you. I want you to know that what causes you to cry causes Jesus pain. Amen, somebody? And I believe not only was he moved by just the connection of his friends and seeing his friends in turmoil and seeing his friends mourn the loss of their brother, but I believe on another level, Jesus was moved as he began to firsthand witness the damage and the result that's caused by sin. Amen? The only reason death exists in this life is because of this thing called sin. Jesus took care of sin, therefore we are able to have eternal life once this body goes, but this body has still got to go for us to ultimately inherit it. Does that make sense? And so Jesus, as he sees the damage and the wreckage and the hurt that sin causes, he gets troubled and he gets angry. And I want you to know something. He's not angry at the people for wailing and mourning and feeling bad. He's angry at the damage and the wreckage that sin causes. And I want you to know something else. That tells me something else about our life that we're living here. Is that Jesus loves us through the damage that sin causes. And that sin can be sin that just exists in the world. You know, sometimes we have to deal with the wreckage of sin that we don't have anything to do with. But we still got to face the consequences. But if I'm honest, there are sometimes I got to face the consequences of my own sin and things that I chose that were not wise and were not part of the plan of God. Come on, somebody. And that also causes damage. I want you to know something. Wherever you fall in that equation, whatever part of the damage I might have to deal with, whatever part of sin's wreckage is causing me pain and causing me to cry and causing me to stay up late at night, listen, Jesus is moved by it. He's angered by it. Amen, somebody? And then we get to this point, not only was Jesus moved, listen, not only was Jesus moved by the damage that sin brings into our lives, he also knows this. Now we get back to the beginning of the story. Jesus is several towns away. He gets word, your friend, your brother Lazarus is dying. And Jesus says, we're going to finish what we're doing here. And then he makes this statement. He says, this will not, you can read this in John 11, verse 4. He says, this will not end in death. This will end in glory being given to God. Jesus understood and knew that for everything that causes you and I to mourn, there is the potential for God's glory on the other side. Amen, somebody? Jesus understood that everything in this life and every pain that comes as a result of the sin that we live with in this world, every place where there's pain, there's going to be an opportunity for God to get praise. Come on, somebody. And so I got news for you right now. Listen, you might be in a season of loss. You might be in a moment of mourning. You might be experiencing mourning and loss and grief over maybe a lost loved one, maybe a lost job, maybe a lost whatever. I want you to know something. If we will keep our faith and if you will determine, I'm going to walk through this believing God, I'm not going to, listen, I just want to declare this prophetically for somebody today. There is glory on the other side of your mourning. Amen, somebody? Somebody needs to receive that today. Somebody needs to hear Jesus saying that to them today. There is glory being released in your life on the other side of the mourning. There's praise on the other side of the pain, if you and I will believe. Amen? Not only was Jesus referring to the momentary glory of what would happen when Lazarus comes back to life, Jesus, I believe, was also looking forward to the future and what he was about to do and the sacrifice that he was about to pay and the price that he was about to pay through the death, his death, burial, and resurrection. And he was realizing, hey, there is about to be a glory released over every part of sin's damage and wreckage and hurt in life. There is glory about to happen over this thing that right now we're more. I know you're weeping right now, but I'm about to do something that's going to create the avenue, that's going to create the opportunity. That's why the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, he saw it this way when he fast forward and glimpsed into the future. He saw, hey, he turns my mourning into dancing. He turns my weeping into joy. And Jesus said, listen, that's about to happen in just a few weeks through my death, burial, and resurrection. There is glory coming through this pain. Let's not give up. Let's not lose faith. Now, here's the tricky part. Jesus, knowing everything we just shouted about, still wept. Catch that? Jesus knew everything that was about to happen. Jesus knew about it on the personal level in the present situation. Jesus knew about the prophetic level that he was speaking to. He knew everything that he was talking about, and still the emotion and the loss of the moment caused Jesus to weep. Here's the thing. Make sure you put this on the screen here. Knowing truth in my head won't change how I feel in my heart. Amen? I know that I have often thought, probably wrongly, as much as I want it to be true, leave that up there for a second, that if I just know the purpose, you know, we think about this, we ask why all the time. Well, why did this happen? Why did that happen? You know, because we wrongly think that if we can find the greater purpose, or that if we can decode the why through what in what we're going through, that that will somehow alleviate the pain of the moment that we're feeling. But the reality is this: I could sit you down and draw you out a plan and explain to you in great detail how God has worked all of the pieces of your life together, how God is redeeming all of the pieces that are painful, how God is putting all of the broken things back together, how God causes this thing that hurt to lead to this thing that was his glory, and then this other thing happened that hurt, but then he redeemed it, and this thing happened for praise, and I could show you all that, and I tell you something right now, it still would not change how you feel in the moment while you're going through the mess. I wish I had better news for you, but I got to give you the truth. Knowing the truth that God has a greater purpose for my pain, knowing the truth that there is a greater glory in every time, in every season of my life where I am in mourning and where I'm weeping and where I'm waiting, knowing that truth in my head, even believing it to the very core of my soul, will not change the way that I feel when I'm experiencing the loss of the moment. And Jesus shows us that. Even knowing everything that he knows, knowing that in just a matter of moments, he's about to say, roll the stone away and say, Lazarus, come forth. You know why he had to say, Lazarus, come forth? Because if he had just stood at the graveside and said, come forth, every dead body within earshot would have popped up out of the grave. Knowing all of that was about to happen, he still was overwhelmed with the emotion of the loss. Jesus still wept, because knowing the truth in my head may not change how I feel in my heart. So if you're feeling loss, and if you're feeling grief, and if you're feeling a season of mourning, if you've experienced some things that have made it, listen, I want you to come to the Word of God, and I want you to find truth in the situation. But understand that even the greatest revelation of truth may not change how much it hurts in your heart. What will change is that you will hopefully be able to grab onto something to believe and not let your feelings of loss get you out of belief. Watch this, verse 40. I'll read a couple of verses, verse 38. It says, Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across the entrance, rolled the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. In verse 40, Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? I mean, that word if is huge. Because Jesus already told the disciples that Jesus knew in his heart something great is going to happen in spite of this loss. Jesus knew and declared there's a great glory that's going to be released on the other side of this mourning. There is a praise that's going to shake hell on the other side of this pain. But he said, look, if you let your feelings dictate your faith, you're going to miss the glory that God had intended for this. Amen? And I think I shared this a few weeks ago, but I want to say it again because it's so powerful, and I've got to get this. We've got to get this in our heart. Listen to me. And here's the thing. The Bible says, I want you to catch this, because the Bible says that Jesus, when he was troubled, he looks at Mary and Martha, and it says that Mary and Martha are weeping. And then it says that Jesus wept. However, those two Greek words, we have one English word. The two Greek words are actually different. The word for Mary and Martha's weeping is a Greek word that meant to wail loudly, almost to uncontrollably. When the Bible says Jesus wept, it means it's a Greek word that means that he wept and he cried and he felt tears, but it was controlled. Okay? And so what he was looking at Martha saying, hey, when she's going, you can't roll the stone away. He's going to stink. What are you doing? You're going to mess up the whole funeral process here that we've got going on. Jesus said, hey, you are letting your emotion take control of the situation. And he's warning her, you're in danger of feeling so much and going so far into your feelings that you're going to get out of faith. And if you get out of faith through this morning, then the glory that God had for you, it's still going to get poured out, but you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it because you're going to be so stuck in your loss that you can't hold on to the truth that you know in your head. Yes, you feel it in your heart, but I've still got to hold on to the truth of what I know God's word says in my head and wait for that thing to show up. Does that make sense? Here's where I want to get to. Feelings should be felt, but not believed. Amen? Jesus wept. Jesus felt the loss. Jesus felt what was going on. And he let those feelings, he let himself feel the feeling. Amen? Sometimes I think we do this in church sometimes, especially in Pentecostal, you know, word of faith, believe the word of God, prophesy, all that stuff out of churches like this one is. Like I believe God shows us how to live. But we get so into that we push away all the feeling because we think, well, if I let myself feel hurt, if I let myself feel pain, if I let myself feel lost, well, I'm almost certain I'm going to be out of faith. There's a balance somewhere in there. Feel the feeling, but believe this word. Amen? So feel the loss of what you're going through. Feel the grief and the mourning that you need to feel to process, but don't just believe the feeling, believe the word of God. Feel the loss, but believe that God's got a glory coming if I stay in faith. Come on, somebody. Feel the pain, but believe that God's got healing for my heart no matter the situation. Feel the grief, but believe that joy is coming in the morning. Let the tears flow, but know those tears are going to turn to dancing if I keep. Come on, somebody. I'm saying feel your feeling, but believe this book. Feel what you feel, but believe the word of the Lord. Feelings should be felt, not believed. And if I begin to believe my feelings, I need to get warned like Martha. Hey, I told you you'd see the glory, but only if you believe. Amen, somebody? My job, when I'm mourning and when I'm hurt, and when I'm grieving, and when I'm feeling loss, my job to take care of myself is to this. I don't want to waste the pain by letting the feeling move me out of faith. Amen, somebody? I've got to hold on to faith in the midst of walking through the feelings of loss that I feel. Jesus weeps. He's moved to tears and to weeping. But he doesn't stay there. He says, all right, now roll that stone away. I felt the Holy Ghost on that. Some of you have been weeping so long, and God's saying, it's time for you to get up and start telling some stones to move. Some of you have been crying so many tears, and God's saying, hey, you better start getting up and speaking God's word over your situation. Some of you have been laying and wallowing and mourning and grief, and I am not minimizing any of that whatsoever. But some of you, it's time to get up and start speaking to stones and start moving things away and preparing for God's glory to show up in that situation. Hallelujah, somebody. The glory is there if you believe. Don't miss the glory that God has on the other side of your pain. This is kind of wild. I'm almost done. The only other time that I have found where the Bible records Jesus weeping like this is at the end of his life, a few months after this moment takes place. It's actually the beginning of what's called Passion Week, where we celebrate Easter. As Jesus is walking into Jerusalem, and he's walking from a high, the Bible says he's on a mountain or on a hillside, and he's about to step into Jerusalem, knowing that in a few days, these are his last 7 days on earth, in a few days, he's going to be arrested. He's going to be crucified. He knows he's going to be resurrected. Again, knowing that resurrection is coming doesn't dull the pain of the nails. And Jesus, as he sees Jerusalem, the Bible says he begins to weep. In Luke chapter 19. The Bible says he begins to weep for Jerusalem, and he says, oh, Jerusalem, what's about to happen to you? You're going to be attacked. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be facing destruction and facing all sorts. And he says this. He says, all because you missed the time of your visitation. Just let that settle in about what's happening there. Jesus, as he makes his way into the city of Jerusalem for his final moments to do what he was put on the earth to do, and give himself as a sacrifice for the world's sin. Extending to us 2,000 years later and beyond however far. Listen, he was weeping. But he wasn't weeping because of what he was about to go through. He wasn't trembling and shaking, going, oh, I don't want to. Oh, this is gonna suck, man. This is gonna be painful. This is gonna. He wasn't saying, pray for me, boys. I need the Lord's strength. This is gonna be tough. No, he was weeping because there was a whole city of people that were missing the glory that God had for them. What does that tell you and me? Besides just letting us know how much Jesus loves and cares for each and every one of us, it lets me know that probably about the only other thing that caused Jesus to weep today is when you and I miss the glory that God had for us. Why does Jesus send the Holy Spirit to convict us? Why does Jesus send preachers with the Word of God to challenge you? Why? Because he doesn't want us to miss the glory that he had for us in this earth. Listen, we are all going to experience pain. We are all going to experience loss. We are all going to experience grief. Jesus experienced it too. Hebrews 4 says he experienced everything that we experienced, yet did not sin. Remember, sin doesn't just mean he didn't do anything wrong. Sin means also separation from God. So he experienced grief and he experienced mourning and he experienced loss and yet was without sin, meaning he did not let his pain separate him from the presence of God. He didn't let his mourning separate him from the glory and the purpose and the presence that God has for his life. And when he sees that happening for his people, when he sees that happening to his family, when he sees that happening to you and me, I believe the same thing that happened as he walked over Jerusalem. It happens to us right now. It happens to him right now. Why? Because he wants to redeem. Redemption is waiting. If I can stay in faith. Stand me all over this place this morning. I don't know about you, but I am determined. This is just my determination. I encourage you to make it your own. But I'm determined. I'm not going to miss the glory God had. I'm not going to miss the glory God has for me in this life. Amen, somebody? I'm not going to waste. I'm not going to struggle and go through the pain and go through the heartache and go through the stuff that we go through on earth only to have it be meaningless. Come on, somebody. I'm going to stay in faith. I'm going to keep believing the Word of God. I'm going to keep doing the next thing that God told me to do. And in the name of Jesus and by the grace of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I am going to see the glory of God. I'm going to see stones rolled away. I'm going to see Lazarus come forth. I'm going to see purpose in the pain. I'm going to see glory on the other side of mourning. I'm going to see my pain turned into praise. I'm going to see joy turned into dancing. I'm going to see sorrow turned into shouting. Come on, somebody. Why don't you just right now begin to practice that? Come on, why don't we just make that declaration for yourself right now. Say, God, I don't know what you're walking through. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what loss you might be dealing with, man, but I dare you to just draw a line in the sand right now in your life and say, man, I am not going to step out of faith. I am not going to lose the glory that God has intended for this situation in Jesus' name. No, not for another second. I'm not going to be like a city of Jerusalem who missed the time of visitation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church, begin to worship Him for a moment. Come on, I feel the sweet Spirit of God in this place right now, in this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Say this with me. And then Eric, stay right where you are. We're going to worship for just a moment before we go. These altars are going to be open. If you need to find a place to connect, if you need prayer, there'll be people down here ready to pray with you. Make this declaration with me today. Say this, say, Jesus, let your glory take over every place where I've been in mourning, in Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that right now, lift up your hands all over this room. Come on, if you receive that promise right now, there is glory in your pain. There is purpose. There is praise on the other side, in Jesus' name. Stretch your hands this way. Receive this blessing from the Lord, and then we're going to let His glory manifest in this house. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace. Father, let your glory take over every part of everything that's caused us to weep. In Jesus' name, amen.
When the glory's in the room, nothing else is needed. When the glory's in the room, nothing else is needed. When the glory's in the room.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm here with my beautiful wife, Luann, and we just want to say thank you so much for worshiping with us this Sunday at Redemption Life Church. Whether you're in the building or online, we call you part of our family. If you're new here, or if you've never taken this step before, right now, before you do anything else today, would be a great time to head on over to our website, which is
redlifechurch.com.
Redlifechurch.com, right in the middle of the homepage, there's a big tab that says new here. Click that, fill out the quick form, and get started today making Redemption Life Church your home for freedom and encouragement. Speaking of our website,
redlifechurch.com.
You can go there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a place to give prayer requests. You'll receive prayer. You can get started with Growth Track, find out other information about the church, stay up to date with all the events going on, connect to our huddles, connect to our Facebook groups. It's all there anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that's a resource that we encourage you to use. As always, thank you so much for your support of this mission to be a place that reaches, encourages, and disciples in Brookville, Franklin County, and beyond. We can't do without you. We are preaching the gospel together and making a difference in our world. So thank you for being a part of this ministry. That's it. We'll see you guys next week. Same time, same place.
See y'all.